Our scripture this morning is found on page 692 of the Pew Bibles. It is Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I love water. It can be a pond or a creek, a river, a lake, ocean, even fountains in the city. I love being near the water. Its sound calms me. It causes me automatically just to breathe a little slower, a little deeper. And perhaps we are, as human beings, drawn to water because we are 50% water. And at our births, we are more than 70% water, at the same amount of water there is on the earth. Genesis says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the Spirit of God swept over the face of the waters." Creation began over the waters. Water is life-giving, creative in its force, powerful and commanding. But water can also be, as we know, especially recently with the floods, life-taking, destroying everything in its path. In fact, when I this week tried to think of the various metaphors that we use with water to describe various things in our life, all I could think of were things that describe difficulties, like the storms of life, or racing the rising tide, or into each life a little rain must fall, or passing through the waters. The best known Bible stories that involve water involve the destructive power of water. Jonah is thrown overboard into the waters during a terrible storm and swallowed by a fish. Noah, his family, and all the animal kingdom live on an ark while the floodwaters destroy all of life. Jesus calms the storm during a boat trip with the disciples. And then in our text today, Jesus and then Peter walk on water, and then Peter sinks. Jesus went to pray, scripture says, and the disciples were making a 13-mile trip to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It was a windy night. They were being battered by the waves. The wind was against them, scripture says. And in the darkness of the morning, the disciples saw something in the distance moving on the water. Was it God's Spirit moving across the waters like in the beginning of creation? Is it a ghost? They wondered. The presence continued to get closer. The disciples became more and more frightened until they were overcome with fear and they screamed. Jesus said, "Be encouraged. It is me. Do not be afraid." The movie version of the shack, for those of us who have read the book but not seen the movie, the movie version of the shack differs a little bit in certain places from the book, right? And in the movie, Mac gets into a boat and begins to row to the other side of a lake, kind of like the disciples in our scripture going to the other side of the lake. Everything seems to be going fine until Mac starts to remember some of his struggles, some of the pain that he is wrestling with. And then the water starts to seep up from the bottom of the boat, and it looks dark and threatening, and Mac begins to panic, and the situation becomes very serious. But Jesus comes and Mac asks, "Why are you doing this to me?" This question comes immediate. It's almost automatic for Mac. Why are you doing this to me? It has become Mac's default question. But as we watch the movie unfold, as we know the story of Mac's struggles and loss, we can't help but understand how he would feel that way. His anger, his hurt. He now has a long relationship with pain and anger. To be fair, he experienced an awful tragedy, the murder of his youngest child, on top of a very painful childhood that was full of abuse by his father. But his way of dealing with things is to not deal with things. Does that sound familiar to any of us? Perhaps you know what that is like. The struggles and shame and hurts that we push down inside to try to avoid, but they will not just disappear. They find their way to the surface and force their way out just like that water seeping through the cracks in the bottom of the boat. That is what is happening with Mac as he watches this dark water rise up. Mac wants to blame Jesus. "Why are you doing this to me?" But Jesus responded, "This isn't me, Mac. This is happening inside you. You're letting it consume you, but you don't have to. Look at me." And then he says, "Take a deep breath. Listen to my voice. Keep your eyes on me. I'm not going anywhere." Hebrew 12 says, "So then let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us and fix our eyes on Jesus." Let us row our boat through the waves that are crashing all around us, and let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let us journey through life and meet all of life's obstacles that are before us and the pain that is within us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. As the terrified disciples screamed that night in the Sea of Galilee, they heard a familiar voice, the voice of their Lord. And he said, "Take heart, be encouraged, have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And then as Peter stood there in the boat watching all of this take place, Jesus walking towards them on the water, who knows what was going through his mind? Who knows what he was feeling at that moment? But whatever it was led him to ask in that moment if he might could walk on water too. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so he did. Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. But as he walked, he became distracted by the wind and the waves, and he became frightened and he began to sink. And don't we all know how that must have felt? To begin something difficult, feeling strong in body, mind, feeling strong in our faith, only to get distracted, to lose focus, and to be pulled down into the cold, deep, dark water. As Peter sank, he cried out for Jesus in some of the translations, "Lord, save me," and others, "Lord, rescue me." And scripture says immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. Actually, the word immediately is in here several times in the passage that I read, just to show Jesus isn't waiting around and waiting for the right time. Immediately, Jesus is there, grabs his hand and pulls him up. He didn't tell Peter, you need to try and help yourself. He didn't tell Peter, you should have been like a Boy Scout and better prepared. Jesus saved him immediately, it says. In the shack, Jesus also invited Mac to walk on the water. And when Mac hesitated, Jesus asked him, "What are you afraid of?" I love this part. And Mac replied, "Of looking like an idiot. Or of you making fun of me. Or that I will sink." So then Jesus shared with Mac that we humans spend most of our time in our minds, living in the past or worrying about the future. "But when I dwell with you," Jesus said, "I do so in the present moment, not in the past, although much can be remembered and learned by looking back, but only for a short visit," he said. "And I do not dwell in the future that you visualize or imagine. Your imagination of the future, which is almost always dictated by fear of some kind, rarely, if ever, pictures me with you." We spend our time thinking about what was, or what we fear could be, or all of the what-ifs of the future. But Jesus is right here in this moment with us. And it's so easy to become overwhelmed and distracted by our pain, by our circumstances. So easy for us to move from the right now to the future, to later today, to tomorrow, to the things that we have going on, to the things that we're afraid of, the what ifs, what might be. And we turn from now to fears of the future. We talked this morning in Sunday school class about when we ride a bike and how if we look ahead and see something like a pothole or a big rock that we need to avoid, the thing we shouldn't do is keep looking at that pothole or we're going to steer right into it. Instead, what we need to do is focus our eyes on the safe path around that. And the same is true of our pain and our struggles. The more that we focus on them, the bigger they get and the closer we become towards them, heading straight for that. What if? What if? What if? The mother of a very dear friend of mine has an anxiety disorder. And some years ago, not very many, but a few years ago, my friend started to realize that she was going down that same path. She was so afraid to become the anxious person that her mother was, and she was walking right down that path. It all came to head when she realized that there was something in another city that she really wanted to attend. I can't remember what it was. Some program, workshop. Maybe to see someone. I can't remember what it was. But she realized that she had stopped driving on interstates without even really realizing it. And then she realized she was no longer driving on highways that were very busy. And then she realized she was avoiding roads like Nicholasville Road because they were very stressful. So she would take alternate routes. And so she prayed, because she did not want to become her mother who doesn't want to leave or drive anywhere. She didn't want to surrender to her anxiety and have to rely on other people to get her places. And so when the time came to go to that conference or whatever it was, she got in the car and she headed down the road to her destination with her eyes fixed on Jesus. She turned off her phone, she turned off the radio, and she just prayed the whole way there, and she made it. And so then she realized there were other things that she needed to address as well. Her anxiety was keeping her from speaking in any kind of public setting. Her anxiety was causing her to not step up and help lead in her church and other places. And so she continued to use this process of praying and keeping her eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that she was doing these things not alone, but with him at her side. And she would want me to share with you that she discovered a freedom in her life that she never even knew was possible. In life, we have to take risks that for some people might seem ridiculous, while to others might seem very overwhelming. But Jesus hears our cries, "Lord, rescue me." Because our situation, our faith is all about relationships, right? We were never meant to do this alone, Jesus says in the shack. God is always saying to us, come. Relationship is at the essence of who God is as the Trinity. And relationship is at the heart of how we were called to live. We were never meant to be alone. We were never meant to do this alone. Many of us may want to cling to our boat, whatever our boat is, even as it sinks in the water. We may want to just stay home and shut the doors and stop driving. We may not want to take on the challenge because it feels safe in our boat. It seems like perhaps it's the only way we can survive. And maybe that's true if we were doing it on our own, with our own abilities, with our own limitations. But it's only true when God isn't in that picture. More accurately, if we, like Peter and Mac, fail to focus on God, is when we can't do those things. God wants to show us the reality that we can experience together. And walking with God in the footsteps of Christ means being willing to step into the storms of our own fears, into the storms of our own insecurities and anxieties. Whether it is anger and anxiety or addiction or depression or jealousy or betrayal or whatever those stormy seas hold, we must know in our heart of hearts that God is with us, that Christ is present with us, rebuking the wind and calming us. Take heart. Be encouraged. It is I, Christ says to us. Relationship is where and how we can realize the power and truth and practicality of God's promises to us. Relationship is where we can move beyond, why are you doing this to me? In the face of the brokenness that surrounds us and in spite of our pain and suffering and problems, we can know that the path that God has for us is never alone. We can then move in rhythm to God's will. We can fix our eyes on Jesus and take our cues from God's holy word and scripture. And as we do, we find that God gives us what we need to have peace and to heal, but also to move forward and beyond to new heights and depths, to peace that passes all understanding and to a love that knows no end. May it be so.